79 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 3:07, and it is time for the Jeremy Lawrence Show at 590 WKZO. What an evening full of news. I'm not even sure what words to put to it. But some interesting things afoot, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we continue along with the program today, because you know what? There's an awful lot of people excited today. Mm-hmm. After what had happened last night, you heard about it in the news from CBS News, and we'll continue to talk about a little bit. Eric Cantor from Virginia, representative, second in command in the House. He has been eyeing the speaker's chair for a long, long time. Well, I don't think it's going to happen.
No,
based on what happened last night.
The only chair he's going to eye is the one in his living room.
Apparently. Or maybe his den. I don't know. I'm sure he's got other plans. But we'll be chatting a little bit about that, what it all means. Just some of the shock that has gone around from this has been evident on a lot of sides. And we've got some different things to share with you, which we will do here in just a little while. Also, sexism in politics. And this comes from something that Hillary Clinton shared in her book. And she's probably glad that this came out, because this will get the mind off of people saying, oh, we just couldn't afford our houses. She said something interesting, and it involves Sarah Palin. Hmm. Believe it or not. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. Also, an answer for the road issue in the state of Michigan. We'll discuss an interesting take on that someone had. I find it intriguing, and I'll share it with you here a little bit later. Before we get to all of that, boy, we got some fun stuff coming up. I got a couple of tickets to go see How to Train Your Dragon 2. The sequel to that that animated movie is coming out this weekend. Friday is the opening day for it. It will be at Celebration Cinema in Portage. And you get the opportunity at a couple of tickets so that you can go enjoy it sometime this weekend, or I guess any time while it's in the theater, really. But we got a couple of tickets. We're going to be giving those away at some point when Michael Lease expects it, because if he expects it, you'll probably have to answer some dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia question. All right. Now, when I speak of Michael, I speak of none other than crack producer.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, see, you're supposed to say your name.
Oh, Michael Loudon.
There you go. See? Takes him a while, but there it is. So, anyway. So, also, I want to direct you to our website to check out the blog section. Why? Well, we got some good stuff going on there. One of the many things going on is the video of the day. And if you scroll down below the news area on the website to our blog section, you will see the video of the day today. You know, Mark Hamill, if you've watched the original Star Wars trilogy, Luke Skywalker, you know that. You know him for that. That's what he's known for probably more than anything else. But did you know he also did the voice of Joker?
I didn't.
This was in Batman the Animated Series and in the recent Batman Arkham Asylum and Arkham City games. He's the voice of Joker.
I did not realize that.
So in this video, he does a conversation between Joker and Luke Skywalker. It's interesting. You just have to see it. To hear that voice coming out of the mouth of Luke Skywalker is just shocking, to say the least. But when you hear it, you're going to go, it's Joker. That's absolutely Joker right there. So you just have to see it. That's our video of the day. Check it out for yourself. I hope you will be able to do that. And also check out for yourself our Facebook page, where we try to keep you up with some of this and some other things that we do throughout the day. It's our Facebook page, our link at WKZO.com, top of the page. Click, hit like, you're done.
Okay.
And you're ready to go. And you get all this great stuff right there in your news feed. All right. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Eric Cantor. I was sitting last night, wasn't even really thinking about Virginia primary. Because you go, oh, it's Eric Cantor. He's going to win that thing. His pollsters themselves said he was going to win this thing by 30 points.
And then he lost.
And then he lost, and lost comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, okay, first of all, if I'm Cantor's people, much like Mitt Romney's people, I'm asking for a refund from the pollsters because they got it totally wrong.
They absolutely did not survey the right people.
I'm figuring that they surveyed people named Cantor.
Yeah.
That's what I'm figuring because the polls came out. I mean, they were literally at the end of May saying 30 points. Eric, you got this. And you know, if he won that, he's going to win the seat. It's a heavily Republican district. But Dave Bratt, he's a graduate of Hope College, by the way. But he ends up coming up with this campaign. I mean, it's one of these things where it's just so poorly funded. It's kind of like your first car, you know, overworked, underpowered, and always threatening to drive apart. You know about that. Yeah, you know, you remember your first car, fondly or not so fondly. Mine, not so fondly, because it eventually did drive apart. But that's a story for another day. But that was the kind of campaign that Dave Bratt had. He's a Tea Party favorite. And Eric Cantor had tons of money behind him. It's the kind of thing where you figure, all right, this is over before it starts. And yet, it's that age-old story of the little engine that could. And unless something strange happens, you're going to see Dave Bratt become Congressman Dave Bratt very quickly in November. I mean, it's a heavily Republican district. It's possible that a Democrat could win it, but not terribly likely. Now, the interesting part about this is that there have been quotes from all sorts of people. A top Republican told someone with CBS News, yikes, didn't see that one coming. So, I mean, Republican leaders are going, what? What? Double check this. Just make sure you got the names right on that.
Am I dreaming? Is this the Twilight Zone? I don't know what's going on right now. That's what they were thinking.
Now, the interesting thing is Bratt himself, Dave Bratt, who won this, says, this is a miracle from God that just happened. That was a quote he gave to the Associated Press. And Cantor's just said, obviously we came up short. That's about all he's really said. He did come out later today and said he's going to step aside from his leadership role with the House Republicans. And rightly so, I think. And I find this interesting because, you know, with the House, I think Republicans are going to keep it based on what we're seeing. Because voter enthusiasm at this point is clearly, clearly on the side of Republicans. This is a Public Religion Research Institute survey. 78% of self-identified Republican voters say they will definitely vote in November. 86% of respondents who identified with the Tea Party said that. 57% of Democrats say they're definitely casting a ballot. Uh-oh. Yeah, the House is going to stay in Republican hands based on that. I think you could be comfortable to say that. So, given that, though, John Boehner is not sitting easily where, because he's got the job of herding cats, and he's not done it very well because he's got, well, he's got some of the more moderate Republicans that he's got to put together. He's got Tea Party Republicans who, quite frankly, don't often herd well. You got people that are, well, conservative, but not Tea Party and not moderate. And, you know, that it's a splintered party. So, you know, you're going to see, I think, just looking at, you know, looking into my political crystal ball, which has very little accuracy, but I try, you know. Just looking at this, I don't know that Boehner is going to stay in power, because if you see a Republican leader go down like this with this particular election, this is kind of a notice to the insiders in Washington. Hey, wait a minute. We sent you there. We can bring you home.
Mm-hmm.
And we just did. Now, I know in the district, they're just kind of going, all right, look, it was time. It's time that we get somebody new in there, some new blood, new ideas, and that kind of thing. And this happens from time to time. usually it happens cross parties. You know, usually it'll be a Democrat wins in a Republican district or Republican wins in a Democrat district or something like that. Usually it happens in the general election, not so much in primaries. Although with the Tea Party coming around, you've seen it a little more lately. But I think it interesting that this happened. Of course, Nancy Pelosi came along at one point and said, Cantor is one of the most far-right, most extreme politicians out there. And guess what? The Tea Party is taking the Republican Party even more to the right. You know, it's almost like she's sitting here going, I'm shining my gavel right now. You know, and it's not happening. It's just not happening, not that way. I'd be shocked if it was, based on the kind of enthusiasm numbers we're seeing. Yet she's got to say something, you know. Because this is one of the higher-ups that's basically been told, all right, sit down. And that's what's happening. I tend to think, you know, he said he's going to step aside from his leadership role. I wonder if he gets more towards November, if he won't just decide, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, phone it in and go home, or, you know, or put in his resignation and that's that.
Yeah, because he knows he's not going to be there, so why not?
Now, I think, in some ways, you know, and it depends on what laws in Virginia are like. If you get somebody that's going to, if the governor is going to appoint your replacement, then, yeah, maybe you want to hang on for a little while because it's a Democratic governor and he doesn't want to necessarily hand Democrats a seat. Because you know what the Democratic governor would do. Okay, who's the Democrat running in that district? Guess what? You're a congressman, you know. That's basically what happens. And dare I say that's probably what the law is like in Virginia. I'm not exactly sure. But I think this is one of those things where people have said all over the place, you have heard the Tea Party is dead. It's dying. It's not got the power it once had. It's just, it's over. It's done. And that was reinforced when Mitch McConnell won his race for his Senate seat, or at least in the primary he did, against a Tea Party challenger. He put him away. And that's the other part, is Lindsey Graham had a challenger. He ended up winning. And he's a moderate Republican and says that himself. So it'll be interesting to see what this does. I think from a leadership perspective, that's what it shakes up. This sort of a win will embolden the Tea Party members of Congress to be able to say, all right, no, we want to get our guy up there. I think in the end, you're going to talk about a different speaker. Obviously won't be Cantor. I don't think it'll be Boehner. I don't think he won by enough votes this time around to be comfortable when it came to votes for the speakership. I think when it comes down to it, we're going to have to hunt for somebody new for that role, for the role of speaker, someone strong, someone that both sides, you know, really get that appeal. And I've got a name in mind. I've got somebody in mind that I think would appeal to both the Tea Partiers and to regular run-of-the-mill party line Republicans. I've got that name in my mind, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to share it with you here in just a few minutes. But what I'd like you to do, as always, and on this and on any topic, I'd love to hear from you, regardless of your view. 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. Or you can also text us, 80373, and share your insights that way. And, you know, here's the thing. If you are listening, you're somebody that's on the left and going, no, this means something totally different. Let's hear your theory. By all means, because this is a conversation. And we are having a conversation with you as well. So if you've got a totally different theory, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you as well. Because maybe I'm right. Maybe you're right. I don't know. But I tell you what, I'm going to share with you the person that I think ultimately benefits from this. And it's a name that you just might be surprised at. I'll share it with you next. Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. 77 degrees in Kalamazoo. Jeremy Lawrence here with you at 590 WKZO. But talking about Eric Cantor, he is the House Majority Leader, not the Speaker, mind you, but basically second in line, if you will, in terms of power in the House of Representatives. Well, he lost in a primary race to a guy by the name of Dave Brat. And if you don't know that name, I'm not surprised. Quite frankly, I didn't know it until last night sometime. Now, here's the thing. I think, as I've said before, I think this is one of those deals where it affects the House leadership more than anything else. I don't think it changes the way that this race is going to turn out. The race will go Republican. I don't think it necessarily changes anything other than, okay, obviously there will be a new House Majority Leader at some point. Probably saying this summer, actually, is when Cantor will step aside from that role anyway. So clearly, I think this will affect leadership. This has got to put John Boehner on notice that, guess what? You're going to have to watch and see what the conservative elements of the party want to do. I think ultimately John Boehner, I mean, I don't know that he continues as Speaker after this next election. Not because Democrats will take control, but because I don't think he'll have the support. But I tell you, there is one person that I think all of this benefits. And this is a person who has said, has gone on record and said, I don't intend on being Speaker. But I think this person is the kind of person that could appeal to both the conservative Tea Party elements and the mainline Republicans. He's a guy that has been in the national spotlight for a while. I think he's a guy that you could see at the top of the pyramid when it's all said and done, and that's Paul Ryan. I think Paul Ryan is the guy that this helps, really, because he gets to come along now and go, all right, you know what? I'm conservative, always have been. I believe in, you know, making sure that the budget is where it needs to be. We need to cut things. We need to do this and that. Suddenly, he looks very attractive. He looks very attractive to those who are Tea Party types. So let's remember what the Tea Party stands for is taxed enough already. That's why it was called that to begin with. Well, they like the idea of fiscal responsibility. That's Paul Ryan. That's something that he is known for. And I get a gut feeling that he's the kind of guy, at the same time, he's been there long enough that a lot of the mainline Republicans feel like they could trust him. I think that's a guy that could unify the whole thing, more so than John Boehner, because generally what he does is just like, well, let's see, I'm going to stick my finger in the air just to see. Oh, wind's blowing that. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. And tell you what, I'll cry about it and look good.
Yeah, he gets really, really emotional.
You know, and nothing wrong with that. If you want to get emotional, fine. I just don't think that he does a very decent job as Speaker. I don't think he has for a while.
Yeah, he doesn't rally everybody on the Republican side very well.
I remember he was part of the leadership way back when Newt Gingrich was Speaker. And obviously that went well. Because he didn't remain. And you just have to remember that that's kind of what it circled back to. I tend to think it shakes things up. It emboldens, because there's already been a movement to say, all right, we need to get Boehner out of there. We need somebody as Speaker who is going to represent our views a little bit better. We need somebody that's going to be able to put it together a little bit better. A leader. Instead of somebody going, well, I think we're going to go. No, we're going to go that. No, we're doing that. No, we're going to do this. Because even Cantor did that sort of thing, talking about, well, we're going to do immigration reform. We're going to do that. What? People in my district don't like it? No, I hate it. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. Oh, wait, I'm up 30 points. Yes, we're doing it. And that sort of flip-flop tends to get to people after a while. And if you doubt that, ask John Kerry why he's not president. Flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. That's just what happens. People don't like that sort of thing.
You got to pick one side and stick with the issue.
And I think you need somebody that's a strong leader that can lead things up. We'll keep talking about it. Take your phone calls as well. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Talk about the weather here straight ahead. Make sure you keep it right here. Jeremy Lawrence Show, 590 WKZO. And in just a few short moments, we're going to be talking with likely Bob Larson from AccuWeather, as we are always scheduled to speak with him around this time, talking about what we are going to expect to face in the forecast. I'm curious because, you know, he said that he was going to talk with us today about what the weekend looked like. And I'm curious to see what the weekend's going to look like. Not because I've got specific plans at this point, but it'd sure be nice to have a carbon copy of what we got last weekend. I would be all on board with that, and I know you would be as well. So we'll check with him at some point here very, very quickly and talk with him about that. Also, you missed out, I guess, last night. Rain out for the Tigers. Looking to get things going tonight. And the start time for the broadcast, 7:45. In fact, it's evening games through Friday, anyway, as far as I know, anyway. It could be longer than that, I don't know. But they got evening games through Friday. So tonight, 7:45, tomorrow night, 7:45, and then Friday, 6:40. And they're doing battle with the White Sox the next couple of nights, and the Twins on Friday. So looking ahead, that's what you got in the way of Tiger baseball. So that's the reason why I get this whole week to do what I apparently normally do around here.
Don't you just love that?
It's amazing. Like, wow, an actual show. But I do enjoy being with you, and I really do. And I've been looking forward to this for a while. We've been chatting a little bit about Eric Cantor and the defeat that he had in the Virginia primary. The big question, though, I think a lot of us have is, what kind of impact does this have on politics here? What do you see happening as we get towards our primaries? Does it mean that Fred Upton has anything to worry about? I think it's a legitimate question to ask. So we'll chat a little bit about that as we continue ahead, though. Right now, though, I am seeing that Bob Larson is with us. And Bob, we talked yesterday about the weekend a little bit. And I knew we were going to talk a little bit more about it today just to see if it's going to be as nice as you think it's going to be. So is it?
Yeah, it looks like we're in really good shape, particularly the first half of the weekend. Get concerned about maybe Sunday afternoon there being some shower thunderstorm activity, but I think we're certainly in good shape as we blend from forth from Friday into Saturday. So a very nice start to the weekend. And this includes not only dry weather and sunshine, but also it'll be warming up, not becoming terribly hot, but it is going to be warming up. And there's still a chance anyway that we can make it even all the way through Sunday without rain. I do believe we see rain Sunday night into Monday, and I'm concerned it tries to sneak in late Sunday afternoon. But for the most part, looks like a fine weekend.
Okay. Well, that's the good news. But before we get to all of that, we've got some other stuff that we got to live through.
Yeah, we're not yet done with the rain. We had the rain last night, about a third of an inch, a little more than that. And last night's rain, different characterization, the type of rain that we're talking about here, in the sense that when it started raining, 9, 10 o'clock, it just rained for about 6-7 hours in a row. It was just a pretty much a steady rainfall. This time around, it's much more what you would typically find in June, that being sporadic showers and thunderstorms that are scattered by nature, but where they occur, they are briefly heavy. So my word today is spotty. This is spotty shower and thunderstorm activity, but some of those spots, if you will, are seeing some downpours right now. That's from here southward to Indiana. They're all drifting toward the north and northeast. So this will be the case scattered about through the first part of the night. Should be dissipating later tonight.
Okay. All right. So we're basically dealing with the rain through today and tonight. And then tomorrow, is that when it all starts to get just a little bit better?
Yeah, I think tomorrow's a good day. A mix of clouds and sun. Can't rule out a stray shower or storm, at least isolated late in the afternoon or early at night, much less coverage than what we are seeing this afternoon. Mm. But then not looking at or expecting any rainfall on Friday and Saturday. Some sunshine Friday, low humidity, 73. and then sunshine and warmer on Saturday, and it's still at least partly sunny on Sunday.
Okay. Now, Bob, you and I have talked about how you know, we're behind on rainfall right now.
Yeah.
This latest rain that we've gotten last night and then today, is this about what you were expecting?
I was hoping it was pretty much what we were expecting. I was hoping for a little bit more. Some areas to our west, just on the other side of Lake Michigan, Chicago, Milwaukee, they picked up far more, an inch or two of rain. We picked up only a third of an inch.
Mm.
We needed more than a third of an inch, so we are still behind average, but clearly it was a step in the right direction. And maybe some of this spotty shower thunderstorm activity we see this evening and perhaps again tomorrow evening will help us catch up a little bit more, but not quite as much as we had hoped for last night.
Okay, so we're still going to end up behind.
Yeah, we're ahead for the month, but we were quite a bit behind for May and the better part of April, so it'll take a while to catch up to that.
All right, got some distance to take care of that. Bob, we'll chat with you again tomorrow.
Yeah, I
got
to tell you, it's a strange week. I'm out of the office tomorrow with meetings. I will be back Friday for Friday numbers and whatnot, but I will not be here tomorrow.
Okay, well, then we won't chat with you tomorrow.
No, we won't.
We'll chat with one of your colleagues,
definitely, though,
and we'll chat with you again on Friday.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Bob. Bob Larson there from AccuWeather and keeping us in the know on what's going on. I mean, I'm looking at the radar right now. I can see what he's talking about, all these spotty showers. There's quite a few of them.
They're all over the place.
All over the place and headed generally in this direction. So I think it's going to be a little wet. Something tells me.
It's okay. We need the rain.
Could use it. Well, when we continue, we're going to talk more about this Eric Cantor defeat. What does it mean for this area? Chat about it. Take your phone calls as well as we continue. -77 degrees in Kalamazoo. It is 3:48. You're listening to the Jeremy Lawrence Show at 590 WKZO. Eric Cantor. He was the I guess he technically still is the House Majority Leader, at least will be for a while. Now, the interesting thing about this, we're going to keep an eye on this and let you know what's going on, but he's actually planning on a news conference at 4:30. So we'll try and keep an eye on that just to see what it is he said and that kind of thing. CBS is going to keep an eye on that for us, and we'll let you know what we find out about that. But he's having a news conference. He is number two guy in the House of Representatives, and he just lost in a primary. I'd read one spot where that hadn't happened in 100 years. I'd heard from somebody else that it had never actually happened before. So imagine going home with that one. Yeah, how do you recover from that? Oops.
I don't know. I would not know how to recover from that. That's some pretty rare stuff.
Now, here's the thing. With Eric Cantor, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He'll go home to Virginia. He'll, you know, take care of his wounds and address the issues that were there and that kind of thing. I would not be surprised at all to see him go after a Senate seat or maybe the governor's mansion at some point. And just, you know, something there that gets him back in the game. Because he just seems like that kind of guy. The interesting thing about this is one of these races that it was conservative versus more conservative. And in this particular case, more conservative won. You know, I think the thing it points out for me is that if you are able to get your message out as a conservative and not waver on it, you will do very well. Well, that's the one thing that you've heard in the Republican Party. Oh, they need to become more moderate. They need to be middle of the road and that kind of thing. Ronald Reagan was not a moderate. He was a conservative. Remember, this is the guy that in his inauguration speech said, government is not the solution to our problems, government is the problem. And I think those were words of wisdom, really. And I think it's something that Republicans have shied away from, because basically, all right, if you get Democrat and you get Democrat light, which one are you going to choose if you're more attuned to that? You're going to choose the real thing over, well, okay, these guys are not quite as much as these guys. These guys look like they're the real deal. Okay. So the Democrats have got the market cornered for being on the left or left of center. You've got to have the market cornered for being on the right and right of center. And I think that's what you saw with Eric Cantor, is it was like, well, I was for immigration reform before I was against it, before I was for it, before I was against it, before I was for it. Flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. Voters hate that. Voters hate that. It's one thing if your opinion on something evolves over time and you go, you know what? I've heard some pretty convincing arguments, so I'm convinced and I'm going to change my mind on this, and here's why. And then you stick with that? All right, I can live with that. I've seen that happen. But if you go, well, immigration reform, let's do that. Oh, they don't like it? Okay, we're not doing it. Yeah. In fact, I hate it. I hate the way that is. I'm way ahead. Oh, you know what? That's what we need to do. Immigration reform right there. Now, you know, was this a referendum on that? No, I don't think so. I think it was more of a referendum of you represent us, not everybody else. You represent us and not those fundraisers that you've got in New York and wherever else. You represent us. We want somebody that represents us. Because that's what you ultimately want in a congressman. Now, I think the question comes, and I'd love to hear your input on this, 382-4280, 877-382-4280. I think the question comes, what does this mean? Because we've got a later primary. You know, what does this mean in terms of Fred Upton's situation? You know, does he win strongly? Does he have a really big challenge ahead? Does it mean something different in the general election? You know, I mean, I don't know Fred Upton terribly well. I've met him a few times. Great guy. I've enjoyed my conversations with him. Generally, you've heard those conversations right here on the station. He's been in the studio before. Probably will be again. You know, but is he somebody that you feel like, all right, he's in touch with what we want, with what we need, with what we are in this district? Or do you feel like, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. This is where you get your opportunity to sound off and tell us what you think about it. Because a race like Eric Cantor, a race like that where he thought he had this thing in the bag. He'd heard a nearly 30-point advantage on his side. His pollsters told him that. I'd be curious to see if this is the same pollsters that Mitt Romney used. Remember, Mitt Romney didn't write a concession speech because he thought he won. And his pollsters ended up telling him wrongly. I'd be interested to see if it's the same pollsters. I think that would be a note to self if you're in the business and you see, all right, boy, they got it wrong. They got it wrong by like at least 35, 36 points. Note to self, not using those people. Okay.
Never will be hired to be pollsters again.
Well, it's interesting to see how this happened. And I thought, you know, the Michigan connection here was interesting because Dave Bratt, a Hope College graduate, ended up pulling this off. He didn't have a lot of the financial backing. He didn't have the backing of a whole lot of these groups. I guess the NRA supported Cantor. You heard a lot of different groups that got in line behind him because they figured, oh, overwhelming favorite, yeah. Chances are a lot of those groups are going to get behind this guy now because who else are they going to support? But the Tea Party got behind him. Now, here's an interesting thing. This guy, Dave Bratt, he's an economics professor. You know what? That's what we need in the House right there. That's what we need. We need somebody that's going to be able to look at this, pick it apart, and go, you know what? That isn't going to work. Here's why.
And he'll be able to tell you the exact reasons because he teaches it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the stuff.
There you go. One thing that, you know, the Fed chair has even come out. She said the other day that, you know what? The level of deficit that we have, it's getting to the point where it's going to be unsustainable. It's going to be a problem. We're going to need to do something else. And I think that's why something like this is big. And I think, you know, you talk about, oh, the Tea Party's dead. The Tea Party's not going anywhere. And if the deficit continues to rise, the debt continues to get bigger, we're going to have a problem. We're going to have a problem because we're going to end up servicing the debt instead of servicing the needs of this country. That's why you get somebody in there that, hey, you know what? This guy knows economics. Why not? I've always felt like, And, you know, I don't know why it is this way. It seems to have just kind of evolved this way, that lawyers end up being representatives and senators. And not all of them are. Because there are some that are doctors and various people like that that end up running for office. I would be totally intrigued if a plumber ran for office. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, get a plumber in there. Somebody that is going to be, you know, the representative of the common man. That would be interesting. That would be a race worth watching. And I think it's something that should happen a little more often. You know, let's not forget Joe the Plumber. I mean, we go back to, you know, McCain campaign, the whole bit. Joe the Plumber. Well, he actually ran for office at one point. Why not? You know what? Let's get some more people in there that way. Because that way you might end up getting a more true, accurate voice of the people. And I think the other thing that we need to remember, and I don't know if I believe it was Mark Twain, I'm not sure, but the quote was that, you know, politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed often and often for the same reason. And I think, you know, it points at something that is an absolute truth. People that go to Congress are our representatives. They represent us. And not all of them, but a lot of them, when they get to Washington, you get dazzled. You get this sense of, well, I'll be a part of something bigger. And if I support the speaker on this, then eventually, you know what? I'll get this little thing that I want. And that's how I can get things done. But, you know, go along to get along, basically. And there's something to that. I will admit at times you need to be able to compromise. But it's kind of like that old thing of, you know what? If you want to be in charge, go along to get along, and eventually you'll be left standing when it's all said and done. At that point, you won't have any idea what you stand for, but you'll be there. You know? I tend to think the founders wanted this to be a legislative body that had robust arguments with one another, that talked about ideas, and so what if they get little done? You know what? Let's not forget, the government that governs best governs least.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great principle to remember as well. Yeah, does this mean ultimately that we should have different representatives in there? I don't know. But I think it's a discussion worth having. It's a discussion worth having as we talk about things like this. I think it ultimately points, though, to a change in leadership. Now, as we continue ahead on the program, we'll still talk about this, but we'll also talk about some other things. You know what? Sexism in politics. And, you know, I think there's an answer for the road situation in Michigan. It's one that we'll tell you about as we continue ahead on the Jeremy Lawrence Show.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.